supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely, thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamu Alaikum, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Be with us because we're going to speak about the fault finder in the view of Islam.
إلهي وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يوما بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي یا خبیرم به فقری و فاقتی.
Today, Thursday, is the 4th of Rajab, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 6th of Bahman, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 26th of January, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For today and the Quranic part, we'll listen to chapter Al-Hujurat, verse 12, then we find the points about it.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه واتقوا الله إن الله تواب رحيم.
O you who have believed, avoid much negative assumption. Indeed, some assumption is sin. And do not spy or backbite each other. Would one of you like to eat the flesh of his brother when dead? You would detest it. And fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is accepting of repentance and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Resuming the discussion raised in the preceding verse, the blessed verse in question treats of factor perturbing the peace and brotherhood amongst believers, among which mention may be made of suspicion, prying, and backbiting. It is worthy of note that the Holy Quran recommends believers to entertain good intentions toward others and refrain from entertaining suspicion about others. The Arabic word غيبه designates talking behind someone's back without people being aware of the same, and it happens to be offensive to the person being backbitten. The topic of this part is the fault finder in the view of Islam. Please be with us. One of the common ways through which people deflect their own shortcomings and do not face up to their own faults is to blame others. The righteous leader of Muslims, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, once said, "The worst of people is the person who searches for faults in others while being blind to his own faults." Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "None of your faith is pure unless your heart is upright, and your heart will not be rectified until your tongue is in order." Since virtually all false finding is conveyed verbally, we must be careful of power of the tongue, since wise people caution the fact that affliction caused by the tongue is more severe than the harm caused by the sword. The Prophet also provided the basic rule of good character when he responded to a question regarding salvation. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "None of your faith is pure unless your heart is upright, and your heart will not be rectified until your tongue is in order." Since virtually all fault-finding is conveyed verbally, we must be careful of the power of the tongue, since wise people caution the fact that affliction caused by the tongue is more severe than the harm caused by the sword. The Prophet also provided the basic rule of good character when he responded to a question regarding salvation. He said, "It is necessary for you to control your tongue and weep for your own faults."
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we are going to talk about picking faults, and picking faults in others mostly. It is because of this reason that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam has forbidden us from associating ourselves with such people and has said that إِيَّاكَ وَمُعَاشِرَةَ مُتَتَبِّعُ عُيُوبِ النَّاسِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَسْلَمْ مُصَاحِبُهُمْ مِنْهُمْ. I warn you, keeping relations with people who look for faults in others, since surely there is not a single person who will be safe from such people. But there is an important point, brothers and sisters, we have to keep it in mind, that pointing out one's defects with sincerity is not the same as fault-finding. A point of interest which a great majority of people are uniformed about is that picking faults of others and insulting them in the presence of others is one thing, whereas guiding them and pointing out the proper way to do things and showing them their errors is another thing. Picking the faults of others is one of the negative ethical traits, whereas guiding people and informing them of their own shortcomings by advising and giving them good counsel is one of the religious and humanistic responsibilities. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every spiritually conscious person to save his fellow human beings from a terrible end, and that dark day when everyone will have to answer for their actions. Informing people of the shortcomings in their own lives is so important and valuable that Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam classified this as the great gift that a person can give to another and has said, "Rahimallahu imra'an ahda ilayya 'uyubi." May Allah's mercy be upon that person who offers a gift to me by pointing out my own mistakes and shortcomings.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the infallibles, lessons from the life of the infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Dear brothers and sisters, this is today's special, and we'll look at pointing out one's defects with sincerity. That is not the same as fault-finding. A point of interest which a great majority of people are uninformed about is that picking faults of others and insulting them in the presence of other people is one thing, whereas guiding them and pointing out the proper way to do things and showing them their errors is another thing. Picking the faults of others is one of the negative ethical traits, whereas guiding people and informing them of their own shortcomings, but by advising and giving them good counsel, is one of the religious and humanistic responsibilities. Therefore, it is incumbent upon every spiritually conscious person to save his fellow human beings from a terrible and that dark day when everyone will have to answer for their actions.
Everything I have, everything I own, everything I eat is thanks to you. Every breath I take, every bird I hear, every smile I see is thanks to you.
In this part of today's special, how to stop finding faults in others, give them the benefit of the doubt, The work of giving people the benefit of the doubt in this way is worthwhile for several reasons. We reduce our own frustration and impatience. We process the world in a kinder, more nuanced way. Our kind attitude is often reciprocal. If you give someone else the benefit of the doubt, they are much more likely to do so with you in the future. To stop finding fault with others, we must give others the same understanding we so easily give ourselves. When someone is late, perhaps they were stuck in traffic. When someone drops the ball on communication, it is likely that they have a thousand other things they are trying to focus on.
The meaning of al-humaza, according to one translation, because sometimes it's a little bit difficult to get an accurate English translation for powerful Arabic words. Al-humaza means the fault finder. The one who has the habit of finding faults with others, exposing others, backbiting others. This is the title of this chapter. We do have beautiful hadiths about that. Wonderful hadiths. What are the things to avoid so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from something like that? So reciting this chapter in your daily prayers will have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the sustenance for you, the quality of life for you and your children. And number two, it protects from sudden death. Sometimes sudden death happens, whether through an accident, a heart attack. Somehow, the one who reads this chapter regularly, the Imam alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this person from sudden death. So let's keep that in mind. And when you recite this verse every day, this chapter every day, it really reminds you of the social security, my dear brothers and sisters. Because oftentimes we do see in our gatherings, it's very common for us to gossip, talk about people's faults, people's problems. And the religion of Islam is very sensitive with that. Backbiting is a major, major sin. If I would share with you some of the hadiths about backbiting, it's really shocking. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, when he went on his ascension to the Mi'raj, as he was going through the heavens, he saw a group of people, their own flesh would be cut from their bodies, then they would eat it. Yeah, that's gruesome. The Prophet ﷺ asked Jibreel, Jibreel, who are these people? Jibreel tells him, Ya Rasulullah, these are the backbiters. Their brothers and sisters in society, they gossip them. They engaged in backbiting, slandering, ruining their reputation. And this is their fate on the Day of Judgment, after they die. And the Qur'an says this. When the Qur'an says not to backbite one another, the Qur'an says, أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا. Does any one of you desire to eat the dead flesh of his brother? That's backbiting. If you could see backbiting in body form and physical form, an embodiment of backbiting, that's how it would be. Eating the flesh of your brother. And this is the fate of those who do that on the Day of Judgment.
Topic was the fault finder in the view of Islam. Inshallah, on the next episode of this program, today's special from IRIB English Radio, we continue to search and find more about this interesting topic. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we meet you soon. And till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد
محمد نبي علي إمامي لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لفتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and here is some wonderful food for thought from Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi, peace be upon him, the 10th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Better than the good deed is its doer. Nicer than nice utterance is the one who utters. More virtuous than knowledge is the one who has the knowledge. And worse than evil is the evil doer. And uglier than terror is the one who terrifies.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. This hadith is about the signs of the reappearance of Imam Al-Mahdi alayhi salam. As you know, there's many signs for the reappearance of the Imam. These have been mentioned in the hadith. This is a subject that should be investigated meticulously in its own proper place. These hadiths, their chains of transmission, they should be assessed, and they should be measured with the criteria which have been mentioned for reliable hadiths in these books of science of hadiths. Right now, we don't have time to directly get into that. But a lot of these signs have been mentioned in very reliable hadiths. One of these hadiths which we would like to recite for you today is a hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. The Imam said, "Certainly there are signs prior to the uprising of Al-Qa'im from the Almighty Allah for the believers." I, meaning the transmitter of the hadith, whose name was Muhammad ibn Muslim, a very famous companion of some of our a'imma alayhi salam, he said, "I asked, 'And what are they? May Allah make me your ransom.'" He replied, "That is his verse." So the Imam alayhi salam, he references a Quranic verse regarding these signs. The verse in question is the following. He said, Allah says in this verse, "We will surely test you," meaning the believers, "before the reappearance of Al-Qa'im, with a measure of fear and hunger. Bishay'im min al-khawfi wal-ju' wa naqsim min al-amwali wal-anfusi." This is a very famous verse of the Holy Quran. "We will surely test you," meaning the believers, "before the reappearance of the Al-Qa'im, with a measure of fear." So there will be, I guess, a lack of security in the world. People will be afraid. You know, this is something that we tangibly see today, right? There's no security in the world. And you go out, to buy a carton of milk, and you're not really sure if you're going to come back or not. With the ease at which people can buy, handguns and guns and these kind of things, right? This is something that we tangibly see today. With a measure of fear and hunger meaning produce, there will be a deficiency of food, again, something that we see today, and a loss of wealth. People, their economically, their lives will be very deficient. Lives and fruit, death and destruction and produce, these are all signs of the Imam's appearance. And in the end, God says, "And give good news to the patient." وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, meaning throughout these trials and tribulations that people will go through, those people who are patient and bear these trials with patience, they will be the ones who, will be given good news and, be relieved by the advent of the Imam alayhi salam. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the signs of the reappearance of the Mahdi alayhi salam in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل. قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International School. So, today I'm really happy to inform you that again, alhamdulillah, we have some of the students of Sevier International School here with us in this Quranic session. Inshallah, we'll be here with you with another Quranic session. Before we start, I really say salam from the depth of my heart to all our brothers here, and I really welcome you all. Salam, how are you? Fine, Fawad?
Yes, sir.
Hussein, Hassan?
Yes, sir.
Fine?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So today, inshallah, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, the same as our previous session, we'll talk about one of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah, verse number 260 on page 44. So, brothers and sisters, please refer to the Quran. Open the Quran, page 44, ayah 260 of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we start, we will listen together to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa idh qala Ibrahim rabbi arini kayfa tuhyi al-mauta. Qala awalam tu'min? Qala bala walakin liyatma'inna qalbi. قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم.
That was nice. Fawad, are you ready to read inshallah with me?
Yes.
After me, repeat. Repeat after me, okay?
Okay.
Hassan, Hussein, and okay, Fawad will repeat after me inshallah. Brothers and sisters, make sure you listen and practice as well. Let's go on.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى
قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِنْ قَالَ بَلَى وَلَكِنْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي
قال أولم تؤمن قال بلى ولكن ليطمئن قلبي
قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا
قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا
ثم اجعل على كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعهن
يأتينك سعيا ثم اجعل كل جبل منهن جزءا ثم ادعوهن يأتينك سعيا واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم
أحسنتم ما شاء الله. Thank you so much. This time Prophet Ibrahim عليه السلام asks Allah Almighty, says that, show me, O Allah, show me, my Lord, show me how you revive the dead. When someone is dead, okay, how do you revive it? Then Allah Almighty says, oh, Ibrahim, don't you believe I can do it? Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam says, no, I believe it. I believe you can do it. But I want to make sure how you do it. Okay? How you do it. وَلَكِلْ لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam said, yes, indeed, I believe it. I know it, okay? But in order that my heart may be at rest, so it should be more calm and more sure, okay? I want to make more sure, okay? Then Allah Almighty says that, oh, Ibrahim, take 4 of the birds, then cut them into pieces, okay? And place a part of them on every mountain, then call them. Then call them. When you cut the birds into pieces, so dead, yeah? It just dies. You slaughter it, yes? So it's dead. Allah Almighty says, cut them into pieces, put every single piece on one mountain, on the top of one mountain, then call them. Look how they come and they again make the bird. They come to you. Then he did that. They will come to you and they hastening, okay? Very quickly they will come to you. All the birds, the pieces of the birds will come together, okay? The birds, okay? 4 birds again. Yes? Again they will be revived. Then Prophet Ibrahim said, Allah Almighty says to Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam that, wa'alam, and you know, and know that. You should know that أن الله عزيز حكيم that Allah is almighty and all wise. Okay? He doesn't do anything without reason. Okay? If he can revive, there is a reason behind it. Okay? So, guys, again, Allah Almighty in this ayah proves the resurrection. Okay? We believe in the day of Qiyamah, we believe in the resurrection, that we will come to life one day again. Okay? Got it, Fawad?
Yes.
Previous session, we had one ayah. In this session, again, we have this ayah. Right? So make sure, inshallah, believing in the day of Qiyamah and the resurrection is something which is undoubt. There is no doubt about it. Okay? Understood? You got to believe in it. So this is one of the principles we should believe. For more information, inshallah, I want you to refer to the Tafasir book. More explanation, that's enough in this session. Inshallah, now we'll move on with the Tajweed rules. Important ones, again, will be mentioned. Make sure you practice.
هذا القرآن يوحدنا لطريق الخير يوجهنا الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
Fawad, وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى Right? Do you have anything to say in this ayah? Is there any important rule?
Yes. The Mention pronunciation.
That. Okay, pronunciation of?
The.
Thal and?
Qaf. There's a qalqara rule.
Where is that?
Ibrahim.
The letter ba in the word Ibrahim. It is sakin, so. Say? Echoing sound, yes? Ibrahim, read. وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ
وَإِذْ قَالَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ
أحسن. Do not say إبراهيم. إبراهيم. So, رَبِّ أَرِنِي كَيْفَ تُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. There is another rule. Tell us, Fawad. What does that salah say, Fawad?
Wasl is better than waqf.
Oh, it's better to continue, right?
Yes.
That's good. That's good. So, قَالَ أَوَلَمْ تُؤْمِن. So, salah tells you...
Continue.
Continue, it's better, yes? So, if I continue, تُؤْمِن ends with nun sakin, plus next word starts with qaf. Is there any rule? Nun sakin plus qaf. Qaf is from?
Rest of the
letters.
Ikhfa.
Ikhfa. So, you hide the sound of the nun. Hussein. Hassan, you got it? You hide the sound of nun. This way. Hassan, listen up. قال أولم تؤمن قال تؤمن قال Hussein, it means you do not pronounce, the sound of the noon does not come out of your mouth. It comes out of your nose, nasal sound. تؤمن قال Read it, Hussein, once.
قال أولم تؤمن قال
أحسنتم قال بلى ولكن حسن نون ساكن plus لام لكن plus لام what rule is applied
إدغام
merge them ولكن instead say ولا say it
ولكن
ليطمئن قلبي حسن طاء ساكن do we have any rule
no
there is no rule yes. He says there's no rule. Is there any rule, Hussein?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, they say yes. So if two people say yes, we accept this. Yeah, qalqala. Right. He got it. Yes. Qalqala. So liyatma'inna qalbi. Five letters were there. If they are sakin, please make sure you produce an echoing sound with them. What are those five letters for what?
Qaf,
ta, ba,
jim, dal.
Jim, dal. Qutb, jad, letters. Yes, both budget letters. Great. ولكن ليطمئن قلبي قال فخذ أربعة من الطير فصرهن إليك أربعة تنوين plus ميم. Hussein says this rule.
إدغام again.
إدغام again. Is the إدغام with غنة with nasal sound or without?
With
arba'atan nasal sound arba'atan min at-tayr again min at-tayr fasuruhunna ilayka thumma ja'al hasan thumma mim next word starts with hamzatul wasl should we skip hamzatul wasl because we joined them
Yes.
Yeah, we skip. So, jim is sakin. Qutb jad letters. Do we have to produce the sound, the echoing sound?
Yes.
Yes. Thumma ja'al. Right. Thumma ja'al. Read it.
Thumma ja'al.
Ahsan. Thumma ja'al ala kulli jabalin minhun. Jabalin minhun. Again, idgham. These are easy. Juz'an thum. Idgham. Ikhfar. Yes. جزءاً ثم دعوهن again قلقلة يأتينك سعيا if you stop سعيا right
yes
واعلم أن الله عزيز حكيم okay صدق الله العلي العظيم that's it okay we got it all the تجويد rules important ones we mentioned make sure inshallah you practice them The interpretations, once again I mentioned, please refer to the Tafasir book for more explanation. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for being with us in IRIB English Radio. Today we, alhamdulillah, finished our today's session. Now, we recommend you to stay with us with the next coming sessions on IRIB English Radio. Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, thank you so much for being with us. Thanks to IRIB English Radio. Thanks to Sevier International School. See you next session. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati,
there is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, "Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid."
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher. An introduction into the lives and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I am Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Ali Mashhadi Ha'iri, mainly known as Muhammad ibn Mashhadi, and also Ibn Mashhadi, one of the greatest Shiite scholars of 6th and 7th century Hijra. He is believed to be among the Mashayikh of Hadith, among the most referred, we can say, authorities and scholars in the field of Hadith, whose magnum opus, Al-Mazar al-Kabir, is very much referred to and documented in the Shiite history. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, talk a little bit about Ibn Mashhadi for us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Of course, Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Ali Mashhadi Ha'iri,
yes,
which is the complete name of this scholar, he actually died in 610 of Hijri Qamari. So he is well known by his work, which is called Al-Mazar al-Kabir. Of course, he is one of the great narrators of the Hadith and Mashayikh of Hadith, actually.
Yes.
Of course, unfortunately, regarding this great and outstanding scholar, there is not enough information, because there is not much information regarding him. But we know that his teachers were Ibn Shahr Ashub, Shadhan ibn Jibra'il Qummi, Yahya ibn Hassan ibn Tariq, Warram ibn Abi Farras. And one, among his students is Fakhar ibn Ma'di Musawi and Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Namma. So yes, the most important, let's say, books which are written by this scholar is Al-Mazar al-Kabir.
Yes.
And then Idah al-Manasik is some, yes, other his works.
That's right.
So yeah, this were all about Ibn Mashhadi. Actually, he lived in the 6th century. And, of course, he is praised and admired by many scholars,
yes,
among the Shiite scholars.
That's right.
For example, like the scholars, many scholars, yes, like Allama Majlisi, like Sheikh Abbas Qummi, Sheikh Hurri Amili, Shahid al-Awwal, Sayyid Muhsin Amin, or yes, Buzurg al-Tihrani, all of these great, mm-hmm, Shiite scholars refer to his works,
okay,
and actually admired and praised his personality in the history.
That's right. And Sayyid Mohsen, when we say he is among the Mashayikh of Hadith, what do you mean exactly? I mean, is it accepted by our Sunni brethren too, this concept, or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Obviously, in the Sunni school of thought and the Shia school of thought, we basically know some scholars as authentic people.
And that goes back on the idea that if the person is narrating things through the proper chain, and he is not basically exaggerating things,
yes,
then obviously he is accepted. Mm-hmm. Therefore, when we talk about such muhaddis or such people, and especially the books which they have, like Al-Mazar al-Kabir is a narrative book, riwayi. It yes. has the riwayat. For example, yes. when he's bringing anything, he's bringing the from the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically, these are accepted. But on the other hand, since there are some people or some scholars who do not want to accept anything other than what uh-huh. they are following,
okay.
there we have these issues. But okay. otherwise, when we have dialogues, obviously we know that there are some authentic people, there are some authentic people
yes.
at this place.
And how the authenticity of such people is proved by their scholars? For example, now in the 21st century, an Ayatollah like Ayatollah Khamenei, Ayatollah Shubayri Zanjani, the other experts in Rijal, they want to know more about this person. What is the method of knowing the authenticity of such men of history?
Well, obviously, that goes back to the science of Rijal,
mm-hmm.
The first thing. And the second thing is, you know, when a person becomes the jurist or the names that you have taken, they get permission from their teachers
uh-huh.
to narrate something.
So Ijazah Rivayat refers to this.
Yes, okay. to this. And on top of that, when they're taking the permission from the teacher, he explains the chain from where he got it. Because these are all connected to each other until they reach to a ma'soom.
Yes.
An imam.
Okay.
Like the jurist that we have, it is not like a jurist comes and he becomes a jurist by just studying books,
yes.
reading books and working on the fiqh, and then he announces that I'm the mujtahid. No.
Okay.
He needs to have this ijazah or permission from one of the jurists before him, or from the jurist who is in his time, he's one of the teachers.
Okay.
And he has to have a permission from another jurist. Mm-hmm. And this chain goes back to the Imam al-Ma'soom. Therefore, there are different chains.
Yes.
And according to them, they might not agree on one person, for example, okay. like a person might, some of them might take them as an authentic person. Someone might not take him as authentic because of the chain that he has, because of the chain that he's following.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the basically differences. But otherwise, when they want to know about someone, obviously, they read about the history, history of the narrators, especially, you know, the narrators which were introduced by Aima Ahl Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam themselves.
Okay.
For example, Aima has talked about Aban bin Taghlab,
mm-hmm.
about Zurara. Mm-hmm. We have those. And after that, they had their students.
These are
and
the trustworthy companions.
Yes. And then they have their okay. students. And then they have the students. So uh-huh. we check all the chains.
The
you know,
chains.
Similarly, the way when we are introducing a scholar in this program,
yes,
we also, you know, introduce his teachers and students.
Yes.
For example, Ibn Mashhadi, his teacher was Ibn Shahr-e Ashub.
Yes.
So when the Ibn Shahr-e Ashub is authentic,
yes,
and one of his students is also authentic, then okay. this middle person becomes authentic for us.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. Okay, let's get to his most outstanding book, Shaykh Rouhani, Al-Mazar al-Kabir, which is in Arabic language. What is this book exactly? What does the title mean, Al-Mazar al-Kabir?
Can I add one important
thing? Okay, very good. Very good. Before getting to that, okay.
The saying of Sayyid, our guest. You know, sometimes we think that, for example, in the 21st century,
mm-hmm.
when you go back to the chains of narrators, how can we, for example, examine all these, for example,
yes.
10 centuries or 14 centuries of
yes.
Islamic centuries?
Yes.
In each century, for example, how many narrators were there? While it is not the case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, you know that, for example, Khulaini.
Yes.
Khulaini was living at the time of the minor occultation.
Okay.
He had direct access to the companions of Ahl al-Bayt, the companions of the Imam.
Uh-huh.
Yes, since our main, actually, traditional sources, I mean sources of hadith,
yes.
were compiled by the scholars, by our ulama, in the 3rd and 4th centuries.
Mm-hmm.
So in that time, there was not that much, for example, long kind of chain of the narrators.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was only one or two centuries
okay.
gap between the narrators and the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam.
Yes.
So that's why most of these narrators...
And not all of them were approved by the A'imma.
Yeah, yeah.
So there were a few people.
Yeah, for example, we have a hadith regarding yes. some of the narrators that mm-hmm. the A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam themselves actually admired them
yes.
and trusted them. And then these kind of scholars or these kind of narrators that are, for example, confirmed by Aima alayhi salatu wasalam, they themselves introduced their trustable students to the narrators.
That's right.
Then like Sheikh Khulaini, for example, referred to this kind of scholars, to this kind of narrators. For example, after the 4th century, for example, in 5th and 2nd and then the other rest of the centuries, there's no need to examine all the narrators because you have direct access to Khulaini's works.
Yes.
You have direct access to, for example, Sheikh Saduq's works.
Yes.
So Sheikh Saduq lived in the 4th century.
Mm-hmm.
So that is why sometimes we misunderstand that, okay, for example, for 14 centuries, we have to go back and study all of these. No, there's no need.
Yes.
Because the main books or, for example, the
golden books,
Kutub al-Arba'a, for example, they were written in the 4th and the 5th century.
Okay.
And now we have access to them.
That's right.
Yeah, this is the point that I wanted to add to this
Thank you very much.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
What about the Mazar al-Kabir?
To explain the content of this book, I think we should go back a little bit to the history. That unfortunately, after the event of Ashura, the Amawid caliphs actually banned and prevented the people from going to Karbala to pay ziyarah of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wassalam. Because ziyarah of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam, ziyarah of the Ahlul Bayt, the A'imma, caused the spreading and, let's say, extension of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt into the Islamic world.
Okay.
So that's why the Amawid caliphs feared a lot from this publicity of A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam among the people. That is why they stopped the people to do ziyarah. And also they stopped the people to narrate anything about importance of ziyarah and visiting the holy shrine of A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam.
That's right.
That's why you see that not only Ibn Mashhadi, but many other scholars before him, they also collected lots of narrations, ahadiths, traditions regarding the importance of ziyarah.
Okay.
Because ziyarah, when you pay ziyarah to the holy shrine of Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi wa alihi or Amir al-Mu'minin Rabbi Abdullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have in our riwayat that, for example, under the buq'ah, of Abu Abdullah the dua is accepted. So you see, ziyarah actually is not only a visitation of, for example, a place.
Yes.
It gives you a kind of a spiritual perfection.
Especially nowadays, the Shiites are very much accused
of
shirk. Okay, they say that you consider this imam and that imam the holy shrine beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the concept of ziyarah is unknown to so many people. I mean, what is the main purpose of doing the ziyarah? What is the content? What is the quality of doing the ziyarah? What is ziyarah text? And unfortunately, most of our Muslim brethren, you know, all across the world are unaware of that. And with this extremist look, I mean, the Wahhabi look at the Islam and this extremist look, you know, the case is more aggravated for some of our Shia brethren and all across the world. So we want to say that from those centuries, I mean, early Islam, the concept of ziyarah was over there, isn't it? Even it is believed that Prophet Muhammad used to go and pay visit to the tomb of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and the Shuhada of Uhud, okay? On that time, visiting them, reading out and doing supplication for them. So al-Mazar